By my co-host Derek Bergen for a very special Gabe Gone from ROH edition of the Radican Audio Showcase for Thursday, October 30th, 2008, and we are already hitting the ground running. Derek, how are you?
Good. I can see that you're still a little upset. You know, it's been a couple of days. On Sunday, you were inconsolable, hard to get a hold of, the tears, the staying in bed all day long, if I remember right. I know you approached me about wearing a black armband, how many weeks we should keep it on, but it looks like you've recharged yourself. You've gone deep into the situation. It looks like you're ready to talk about it.
Yep, I got my GS black armband on. And, ready to hit this situation.
I was lucky to be able to break the news to you. Did it hit you like an A-bomb? Because it appeared to me that Peter Parker took the death of Uncle Ben a little bit better than you did. Or what was your first reaction Sunday morning when you found out?
I was stunned. I just absolutely stunned. I thought you were ribbing me. I thought God was ribbing me because I had a horrible Saturday night and I was very sick. I thought it was one big giant ball of crap. But it turns out that it wasn't. And I don't know. I think I myself, much like all the people who didn't know in the company when they found out, were stunned.
Yep.
I think everyone was. No one saw this coming. So it was a stunning thing on Monday, especially. Sunday morning to wake up to that when, especially in my condition, when really couldn't do anything. I wanted to be on top of the story right away, and it kind of sucked that it happened on Sunday, the way, you know, the whole timing. I mean, sure, it wasn't good for Gabe either, but
What do you think of the timing of that? I mean, doing it right after a pretty big show, I think it was the New Jersey show, do you find that equivalent? I remember the New York Mets, they fired Willie Randolph. They waited until they went to California. They fired him over there. They got a lot of heat for it from the media. Do you think that Carrie should have done it during the week, like, say, a Tuesday, where you can kind of bury the news? You can approach him, say, at a restaurant, you know, do one of those breakup dates in somewhere public. Or do you think, I mean, after a show, after, you know, he put his blood into it, do you think that was kind of classless in a way to just let him go after, you know, a big event like that?
Yeah, it is pretty cold-blooded. At least they didn't bring him to Canada and do it there in a couple of weeks.
And take his passport.
Yeah, leave him stranded in there. But the whole situation is funny to me. It's odd to me for different reasons.
Yeah.
And the whole way it came off was very odd. And,
The first thing I found odd, Sean, was the fact that I was reading the reports of Gabe Sapolsky fired, and the next thing I expected to read was Gabe, area man goes crazy and shoots three people, because Gabe has a tendency to overreact, you know, to sound issues at an FIP show, you know, let alone something major, and this is, if true, is life-changing, and it just seems like, oh, yeah, well, you know, no problem. And I found that, wow, this isn't a game that I've interacted with on a personal basis over the last 5 years when I've had to have been read the riot act over some, you know, small skit, which I didn't think was funny on a DVD. And I found that surprising that he took it in stride. What did you think when you heard the news that he was let go from his show and life goes on?
I mean, as I understood it, we didn't really know, I mean, how he took it until, you know, the last few days and when the word came out. But, yeah, I mean, I was surprised to hear that he took it in stride, and I've been even more surprised with this this new nice Gabe that's talking to Newsday, and he's so understanding and hopes everyone gives the new ROH a chance.
Well, you kind of laid the seeds for this for me your pay-per-view taping you went to, and you kind of talked about how Gabe cleaned himself up real good, because we've gone to shows in Boston, and I've gone to Ring of Honor shows, and Gabe, literally, you couldn't tell him apart from a homeless man at times. And you're telling me now that, you know, he kind of dressed up, you know, he's wearing a nice, you know, suit jacket or whatnot.
Yep.
So maybe we're seeing the beginning of a new Gabe Sapolsky, and he's changing everything about his lifestyle.
Well, despite the change in wardrobe, the change in attitude was not apparent.
Right. Okay.
At least to me.
What?
But, I mean, it's very odd, and we can get into it more later, but, so, what you know, a day goes by, and then we hear that Adam Pearce is installed as Booker.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I heard the news, I thought, wow, they must have, like, either someone that's been getting a lot of praise, that a wrestler or a young mind on the indie scene, or someone who really knows what they're doing, you know, a Paul Heyman or a Dave Prazak or Jimmy Jacobs or someone else, maybe even someone within the company wouldn't shock me. Maybe there's someone in there. But, you know, you hear the name Adam Pearce come up. You hear the name Adam Pearce come up, and this is your first reaction to it. What the fuck? You know?
Yeah.
And, yeah, I reported that he had no experience booking, which I found out since to be false, and has limited experience booking and assisting David Marquez with the NWA promotion on that side and some small indie work, but he has no experience booking on the level of a company like ROH. And so anyway, although my facts may have been mixed, my reaction still rings true. What are they thinking? What are they thinking?
We have spent a lot of time over the last couple of months. Anytime Adam Pearce's name is brought up, I've pretty much had the same reaction. He is fine for what he is. He is an exceptional promo person, especially in Ring of Honor. You know, I almost think sometimes that he's not as good as a promo as a lot of people are saying he is. He's just surrounded by people who are a lot worse than him. And but my standard answer for Adam Pearce is he's just not fit for Ring of Honor. You know, he's good for what he is, but for this company, he's a round peg in a square hole. And I want to say I was glad to hear the news that Gabe Sapolsky was fired, but I've said often that the company needs something. You know, I wish that he was just part of a team. You know, maybe he became the assistant to somebody who went above him for a little while, like a Prazak or Jimmy Jacobs or, you know, a combination of people. But when you say he's gone and Adam Pearce, you know, even someone like me who thought the company needed a change, well, yeah, that's a change, but that's like Al Davis of the Oakland Raiders hiring Matt Millen as his new GM to hopefully fix their team. And it's like, have you not been following what this guy's been a part of and how he's basically the exact opposite of how you've been trying to push your company for the last, you know, 6 years as something innovative, as something ahead of the curve, as something that's going to bring wrestling fans who are tired of what they're seeing on TV, you know, back into the fold. And I just couldn't believe it. And whether this is true or not, that was almost the last person I would expect, other than Ben Sullivan, to be brought in to fix the problem. And I was just I was horrified.
The one thing that comes up in my head over and over again is all the fans I've talked to, or, you know, or I've read, you know, I read the, you know, their comments about shows and people in the shows, and the one guy whose name comes over and over, up over and over again, how much they dislike him on the shows is Adam Pearce. And, you know, he must have pictures of someone in the company or some
comp,
or must be awfully tight with someone to.
He has been given one mega spot after another and failed. Like we said, the greatest angle I've ever seen done in that company, the CZW Ring of Honor feud, he was, the game put him as the protector of Ring of Honor, and people just basically shit on it. They were waiting for the guys they really associated with the company with. You know, and he had the Jimmy Jacobs feud. He had the big Brent Albright feud, and supposedly they had a match of the year contender at Death Before Dishonor. But he's been given spot after spot, the Larry Sweeney thing, the big hidden briefcase or bag, whatever it was, where he unveiled the belt that, you know, laid an egg. You know, Ring of Honor fans have been given chance after chance to accept him as one of their own and really grow to like him, and they never did. And I don't understand why people in the company are basically trying to pull almost a WWE or TNA and say, well, screw you, we're going to make you like him. And if he becomes Booker and somehow, you know, books himself into a top spot, I sense a big negative reaction by the hardcore Ring of Honor fans.
Yeah, I mean, and to, you know, expand on that, you know, I mean, the 70s style of booking that...
that's a whole nother subject.
Oh, we can get into that later, but...
But before you go, Sean, okay, you bring in Adam Pearce. If you are a company who everyone can admit you're not doing great, whether you're doing bad or whether you're doing even keel is one thing. You want to be doing better. Why would you bring in somebody with so little experience? You know, that really doesn't make sense for any company on earth, sports, business, comic books. Why would you take at a key point in your history in a bad economy, which is already going to be swimming uphill, you know, or treading water or whatever, why would you put somebody in that spot who has no real experience in such a high profile? I find it unfathomable that somebody would do this.
It's very hard to understand the logic behind the move. Obviously, you know, a change in direction was needed or going to be needed at some point. But to install someone in that spot is kind of unfathomable. And we kind of, you know, we talked about the reaction of the wrestlers to this, and across the board, they seem to be shocked. You know, a lot of them, you know, this was very kept in the dark, and a lot of the wrestlers seem shocked. And, you know, on Monday, everyone I talked to, you know, seemed to get, you know, the wrestlers or the people that knew, you know, people close to some of the wrestlers all said that, you know, the reaction across the board was shock. Now, you know, as the week's gone by, what we've heard is kind of a change in tone from some of the people, the wrestlers in the company. I mean, there's two groups of people right now, from what I can see. And there's, you know, some wrestlers are saying to you know, give this new direction a chance, and that it's not going to be as drastic of a change as, you know, with the 70s style booking that Pierce is reportedly going to push in ROH. And there's one group of wrestlers saying that it's not going to be as big of a change as we think. And on the other side, there's a group of people that haven't heard from Adam Pearce since he's been installed the booker, and they're worried about their spot.
I had a little discussion on this with another audio show this week, and the 70s wrestling style is a phrase that makes me want to throw up. And I'm sure when the news came out Monday, it was Monday, about Adam Pearce and the 70s style, so Lyndon Walker probably masturbated to it, and Bruce Mitchell is watching the Ring of Honor DVDs that are sitting all around his house now. But to me, I can't imagine any successful entertainment product or sports product, and wrestling is both, that goes back to the past to try to reinvent itself. You know, the future, it's what kids want next in wrestling. It's the next evolution, not going back and trying things that worked for Bill Watts, because Bill Watts came back in WCW and tried to do his UWF bullshit, and it flopped, and he got out of the business. I mean, they should be looking ahead at, like, the Dragon Gates, you know, or even Wrestling Society X, learn about possible new ways to present wrestling, new things you haven't seen 1,000 times, and instead the wrestling mentality, it's not just that appears. You know, there's certainly a large contingent of fans who want to go back to the way things were, not realizing that is just going to fail on an epic scale because people have seen it and they're ready for something else. And I can't imagine you name anything in the world in which technology, in which entertainment, in which anything goes back to the way it was. And because people, I just don't think fans are going to resonate with that. They're not going to spend their money on that, and they're not going to come attached to it because they can watch a wrestling program with a $1 million budget on Monday night for free. And I can't see why a small little indie would succeed with that kind of parameters. I'm just, What do you think of the 70s wrestling, Sean? It just, what it, the name and tones. I mean, I know they're saying it just means slow it down, but I think it means more than that.
It's slow it down. There's clear lines between baby faces and heels, which is something I wouldn't mind.
Right.